The changing nature of work is an ongoing concern in our society, especially to people who work for a living or will in the future, meaning most of us. There are frequent calls to beef up job skills training for the future economy, which will likely include more jobs done by computers and other machines, and those will require people to set up and fix them. The California Immigrant Policy Center advocates workforce development for all Californians, regardless of immigration status, legal or not. The details are contained in a recent policy brief called Making the Right Investments, Ensuring Workforce Development Programs Work for All Californians. Sasha Feldstein is an economic policy analyst at the California Immigrant Policy Center and our guest. Sasha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. California faces a crossroads, the introduction to the policy brief says. Would you lay it out for us?
Sure. So as many of your listeners probably know, the economy is changing. We're facing a lot of paradoxes in our economy where even though California is the fifth largest economy in the world, many Californians are suffering from increasing costs of living and rising inequality. We have record low unemployment and employers are saying that they are struggling to fill jobs. By 2025, California is projected to face a shortage of as many as 1.5 million workers who have post-secondary education. And at the same time, you have many Californians who are struggling to find a job that can support themselves and their families. And this shortage and this gap is projected to continue over the years to come. So we need to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people have the skills and tools necessary to pursue meaningful careers that can support themselves and their families.
So the shortage you mentioned by numbers was for people with post-secondary education. That's 1.5 million, will be like something like 1.5 million short in that zone. Are we talking about shortages all around, though, too?
No. And that's what's interesting is that demand for people who are working in low-wage jobs that do not require higher education, demand for those jobs are also rising. But as automation and technical advances come into play, it's going to create even more of a stratification where you have higher demand for workers who have advanced technical skills, and you also have a rise in jobs that pay low wages, have very few benefits, and also can lead to more exploitation of workers.
So that sounds like then is there a middle ground between those two areas?
Well, hopefully if we can do something to make sure that we're protecting workers in the jobs that they have and in the jobs of the future, making sure that people are guaranteed wages that can support themselves and their families. And when I talk about post-secondary education, I'm not necessarily talking about bachelor's degrees. I'm also talking about people who have any sort of education beyond that high school degree, which could be credentials, apprenticeships, and things like that.
All right, so not even community college necessarily, but some sort of training program that's a bit more formal.
Exactly.
Okay. So give us the general picture, though, about the attitudes toward immigrants in jobs in California. I gather from reading the details of your report, it says we need immigrants but don't necessarily value them for other than their work.
Yeah, that's true. Immigrant communities contribute immensely to not only our economy, but also our communities. Immigrants comprise over a third of California's workforce. Undocumented immigrants represent 1 in 10 of California's workers. The majority of the immigrant population 16 years or older works and pays taxes. Immigrant workers contribute 32% of California's GDP. Undocumented immigrants in California alone contribute over $3.1 billion in state and local taxes. And I think a lot of these contributions sometimes get ignored because many of our immigrant communities tend to work in very low-wage jobs. They pay very little, have few benefits, and also make our workers and our communities susceptible to exploitation in the workplace.
Are there some industries where the majority of workers are undocumented, Sasha?
There are some areas where undocumented workers represent a significant portion of the workers in those occupations. So things like agriculture, construction, food services. For example, half of all personal care aides actually in the healthcare industry are immigrants, and almost a quarter are undocumented. So when I say that our immigrant communities are deeply rooted in our society, they're also working and taking care of our elderly, of our sick, of the people who are near and dear to us. And they are also those who are near and dear to us.
Well, I can anticipate at least a few people thinking, well, some Americans would take those jobs. What's the truth of that?
Sure. And I want to really emphasize that in this report, we talk about the need to improve workforce development for all Californians, including our immigrant communities. We need to ramp up our workforce development programs to make sure that people have access to post-secondary education, and that includes everyone.
Sasha Feldstein is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an economic policy analyst for the California Immigrant Policy Center. We're talking about workforce investment, getting more training for workers all over California, all kinds of workers. The brief is called Making the Right Investments, Ensuring Workforce Development Programs Work for All Californians. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. And you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I want to get into some of the details again of the brief. It shows that the greatest lack is in skilled jobs. Can you give us some examples of the kinds of jobs we're talking about?
Sure. So we're looking at things like in the healthcare industry, for example, medical records, health information technicians, medical and clinical laboratory technologists, in the transportation industry. It's also going to be things like people who are operating those kind of last mile deliveries, people who are able to, when we talk about technological advances in automation, we're going to need skilled workers who are able to do software development and engineering to make sure that they are able to still run the day-to-day business operations of those companies.
So what do the proposals you're making in this brief focus on?
Yeah, so what we did is we talked to organizations across the state, particularly community-based organizations that work with workers, particularly immigrant workers, but also all sorts of workers, about the challenges they face in pursuing job training and education. And what we found is that there are several barriers that we think can be addressed in our workforce development system. So one of them is the time and cost that it takes to participate in training programs. Many people who pursue workforce development are already working in one, two, maybe three jobs, and taking that time off of work to participate in training can be really difficult. So expanding access to training is going to require having more flexible programming, paid internships and apprenticeships so people can still earn a wage and support their family while they're pursuing training, and also extending wraparound services. Things like transportation and childcare can be a real burden for people who want to access training programs. And then we also want to make sure that our communities are involved in developing the strategies for workforce development programs for the future, because they're the ones who are directly impacted and know what it's going to take to make sure that we have a skilled workforce.
So what would communities developing strategies for workforce development, what sort of form might that take? What do you envision there?
Sure. So the workforce development system is primarily run by what are called workforce development boards. Most regions, counties, areas have a workforce development board. It's comprised of people representing business, labor, other employers. And these are people who are appointed. They're not necessarily elected, but they are the ones who guide in the investments of our workforce development dollars in training programs, apprenticeships, internships, things like that. And so one of our main recommendations is that we have community representation on those boards so that they can also help make the decisions about how to best invest our public dollars into making sure that these programs work for all Californians.
Let's talk about the source of the dollars then, because the state of California spends somewhere north of $6 billion a year on workforce development now. Are we talking about new spending required to get to the goals you're listing here?
Not necessarily. A lot of these things have to do with just the workforce boards making decisions about how these dollars are spent. A lot of our workforce development dollars are spent on things like adult education, our community colleges, but there are also a number of other programs like career and technical education programs, our community college strong workforce programs, as well as funding for things like paid apprenticeships, nursing program support, English acquisition. So there are lots of programs that are involved in this system, and I think it's really about making sure that the dollars are just spent wisely, again, to make sure that everyone's able to participate. One of the challenges is that a lot of these dollars are federal dollars and are therefore tied to federal regulations, which do limit access for some of our immigrant communities. So it is our hope that eventually we are able to have more state funding that can be directed at making sure that everyone can participate.
So no documents when there are federal dollars involved equals no training?
For many of the workforce development services, yes.
So the approach here should be that we train everybody and don't worry about the documents. Just if anybody's got a job in California or wants a job in California, get them trained?
Well, I think the fact of the matter is that many of our immigrant communities, documented or not, have been deeply rooted here for many, many years. And like I said, have been working, contributing to our economy. So I think there is a way to figure out how we can make sure that we invest in all of our communities.
We are talking again to Sasha Feldstein from the California Immigrant Policy Center, where she's an economic policy analyst, about workforce development programs for all Californians, documented or not. 800-838-3760. If you'd like to join the conversation by phone, our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Bill in Eugene. Welcome to The Exchange.
All right, I got a couple questions relating to Oregon and California. From what I understand, we're lucky to have 20% of the workers or the population of Oregon now is Latinos. Now, I don't know what it is in California, but that's great. But I was just wondering if one of the reasons for that is that Oregon had, which I helped push and pass a law that all Oregonians get paid a minimum wage when they work, and to get rid of the piecework and slave labor they had before that. And I wonder if that's the same in California, as far as everybody gets a guaranteed wage, no piecework for migrant workers. And as far as education, 20 years ago, I tried to get the local county and the state to work with my union and set up an apprenticeship program where we would train people, and they'd be apprentices even before they'd pre-apprentices before they out of high school, and they would have a guaranteed apprenticeship job waiting for them when they graduated. And nobody in this government wanted to help support our union to get the training in, and we were going to supply the training, and they were going to supply the facilities. You know, and that was before we lost all our manufacturing jobs at Walmart. And it's like we're just digging a bigger hole to bury ourselves. And I just wonder if you could help me out there as far as how to educate people, like keep our minimum wage high so people get a decent paying job and not just low wage jobs that the people can't live on.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Bill. Appreciate that. Thoughts from you, Sasha?
Yeah, so California absolutely has a minimum wage. The problem is that some employers are able to get out of that through various loopholes. We absolutely support minimum wages and living wages for all of our workers. And in terms of education, I think pre-apprenticeship programs are great. The really exciting thing in California is that we do have some promising models that we can build off of. We have a High Road Training Partnership Program that creates partnerships between High Road employers, unions, as well as workforce boards to develop some of those pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship training programs. And in 2017, we helped pass AB 1111, which created the Breaking Barriers to Employment Initiative, which is actually designed to encourage partnerships between workforce boards and community-based organizations to support populations with barriers to employment, including immigrants, and would help create training programs as well as supportive services to help make sure that populations with barriers to employment are able to access some of these programs.
This ultimately gets down to another one of those situations where we hear that people are annoyed about undocumented immigrants arriving, but the fact is that a lot of these industries wouldn't get their work completed if they didn't have people to rely on who come from across the border.
That's true, and I just want to say one thing, which is I don't think that we should value our immigrant communities just based on their economic value and their contributions to the workforce, as significant as they are. But we're also, as I said, we're talking about communities that are deeply rooted here. Many of our immigrants including undocumented immigrants, have been here for 10 years or more. So it's not just that they contribute so much to our economy, but they're also our teachers, students, representatives in the legislature, our families, our neighbors. And so I think it's really important to remember that everyone should be able to support themselves and their families. Immigrants are really, they are California. They are our communities.
As far as documentation goes, are you neutral on that in this workforce development effort, or is there some component that would include efforts to get documentation, pathway to official status, along with the training, perhaps?
Well, that's a really good point, because many of our undocumented immigrants who live in California are actually eligible to naturalize. And if they were to obtain citizenship, it's actually a pretty significant percentage of immigrants who live here would add to our electorate and would certainly help them advance in their careers and in many other ways. So that's absolutely something that we would support. And we need more supportive services like that, access to legal services. And all of these other types of wraparound support services, I think, are really critical to making sure that that everyone is able to pursue a career and take care of themselves and their families.
Sasha, I haven't asked about areas of the state that might have greater needs than others. Does your examination track that?
So it's not included in the report, but there is some really good data that looks county by county, where you can see where people are working, the primary occupations that they're working in, where the demand is. As you can imagine, for in northern counties, agriculture is a big industry, whereas in Long Beach and Los Angeles, trucking and transportation. So there are definitely different regional demands based on where people live.
All right, so you put this out there. Again, the report is called, it's a policy brief called Making the Right Investments, Ensuring Workforce Development Programs Work for All Californians. Do you have a receptive ear in the governor's office, in the legislature? Where do you see things going from here, Sasha?
Yeah, so when Governor Newsom took office and released the initial budget proposal, it was clear that workforce development was absolutely a priority. And we think that's great because it fits under Newsom's kind of banner of saying we want a California for all. And what we're saying is if we truly want a California for all, we need to work to make sure that our programs and our policies are really inclusive of all of our communities. So we're hopeful that we can start shaping a conversation around why workforce development is so important, just like healthcare, just like education and some of our other bigger initiatives. We actually are co-sponsoring a resolution, Assembly Resolution 50, ACR 50, which calls on the state's workforce system to improve access to workforce development for all Californians, including our immigrant communities and low-income communities of color.
Okay.
And so our hope is that the passage of this resolution will spark further action to advance solutions that will help break down barriers to job training and careers for everyone.
All right, Sasha Feldstein, economic policy analyst at the California Immigrant Policy Center. Thank you so much.